We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and midweek Wednesday hump day alohas to you. You are just in time as we begin the Bobby Mack Electric Radio program. Great to have you along today. And you are in for a special treat here at the beginning as well, because some special guests. You told me wrong, Moneypenny. I hit it twice and it put it on lock, and then I went to the next line and it dumped it. Hang on just a second. Some special guests coming up to lead us off this afternoon. We get the phones squared away here. 6 minutes after 3, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307, and my email address, bob@1063.com. How are we coming on the phones there, Moneypenny? We're having to redial one of our guests. Let's see if we can get this squared away. As we begin today, you may be aware of the fact yesterday I mentioned this is kind of destination listening because we have some special guests today who have the number one best-selling book right now on Amazon entitled Justice on Trial. It delves into many of the things that went on behind the scenes during the hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court. The book has been a runaway bestseller. And how are we doing, Moneypenny? Okay, well, let me go. Who do we have on the line to begin?
Molly.
Okay, let's go ahead and begin with Molly Hemingway from The Federalist. Her co-author, Carrie Severino from the Judicial Crisis Network, will be joining us as well momentarily. Welcome to the program, first of all, and congratulations on the success of the book.
Thank you. We are happy to be here, and we are elated with how well the book sales are going.
Yeah, I think this was certainly... A magnet for political junkies watching these hearings. And it's interesting because the title of the book, Justice on Trial, in a sense a double entendre, because it was a hearing for a nominee to the Supreme Court, but in a sense justice itself was also put on trial as well.
Exactly why we chose the title.
Yep.
The story. We knew the story was interesting. We knew that the Kavanaugh confirmation itself was a story that had so many interesting things about it, and that we had a behind-the-scenes look that needed to be told. But it wasn't just about Brett Kavanaugh. It was about the very notion of justice itself that was on trial, whether when people make accusations, there is a burden of proof
mm-hmm.
on those accusations,
mm-hmm.
whether you need evidence before you convict someone. This is something that's important to us as Americans, but it even predates our founding principles. Presumption of innocence is one of those bedrock values that I think people were terrified to see abandoned in this process.
Yeah, because it goes to basic fairness. Carrie Severino from the Judicial Crisis Network and the Federalist Molly Hemingway. Carrie, welcome to you as well. I think we have you connected here as well this afternoon. Welcome to the program. And Molly, are you there?
I'm here.
Good deal. I grew up in America, as you just alluded to, where we had this quaint notion that you were innocent until you were proven guilty of a crime. And yet the Kavanaugh hearings pretty much turned that idea on its head in a very ugly and spectacular way that we all witnessed. This was like a bad car wreck. You don't really want to look at it while you're driving down the interstate, and yet you can't turn away.
That's why we thought it was important to actually tell the stories of how people were affected, too. People close to the Kavanaughs, people who were working in the process.
Mm-hmm.
We learned how many courageous people there were Partly, this is about President Trump being steadfast, as was his White House counsel, Don McGahn.
Right.
But there were people, you know, Ashley Kavanaugh, who prayed that her husband wouldn't even get the nomination, but shows amazing support of him when he does. She didn't even want to go through the process and had no idea how bad it would be. People like Leland Kaiser, a lifelong friend of Christine Blasey's, who was named as the sole female witness to the alleged event, and
right.
She is a lifelong friend, a liberal, a Democrat, someone who didn't want Brett Kavanaugh on the court, but she told the truth that she did not remember any such event, and that she remembered the summer quite well, and that she lacked confidence in her friend's story. That took amazing bravery and courage.
Yeah, it certainly did. And you know, watching as these hearings progressed, this was almost, you know, in a way, you felt as if you were watching Torquemada in the days of the Inquisition, the way this thing transpired.
It was a public experience that I feel like the whole nation went through, and it's been so fascinating and really gratifying seeing how interested people are in reading the book and in seeing it, because I think there's a lack of closure that people have experienced, that you saw this all happen, and yet and yes, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed and is on the court,
mm-hmm.
but what has happened to the many bad actors that we saw through the process, and we detail some of them in our book Justice on Trial, about how the Democrats seem to be almost colluding with the public relations team that Dr. Ford had going, of the missteps by the media, where they sometimes were not not digging into stories they could have, and in some egregious cases, even hiding information that they knew cast doubt upon some of these various allegations. All of those people have not been held accountable, and I think many Americans are concerned to hear that and really are looking to understand more about what happened.
Yeah, because there was plenty of exculpatory evidence along the way for some of the baseless charges that were brought against Brett Kavanaugh, and yet the media treated those as, oh, well, it's no big deal. Let's continue with the Inquisition.
That's absolutely right. There was reason from the outset to be skeptical of any of the claims. There was much exculpatory evidence. And yet, everything seemed upside down. When the allegations got increasingly ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
even the most casual observer could see that they were absurd on their face, you had Senate Democrats coming out and demanding that Brett Kavanaugh resign and not continue with his nomination. When Julie Swetnick and Michael Avenatti came out with their outlandish gang rape allegations.
Right.
So people were not behaving as normal people would, normal, skeptical people who require evidence before they make decisions.
You know, it's interesting because I grew up and was raised in Arlington, Virginia. And so that locale certainly resonated with me because it was right across the line in Maryland, and a lot of the instances, the physical geographic locations he referred to during the hearings were very familiar to me. What is your assessment of the way the media essentially turned this into the Salem witch trials?
We go into that a lot in the book, looking at how the media handled different scenarios. And obviously, they're not covered in glory. They withheld information. They sat on things. We have an example of NBC News actually knowing that the supposed second witness of Michael Avenatti was not backing up what he claimed she would say.
Uh-huh.
And they sat on that. They had it before his confirmation vote. They sat on it for weeks, only releasing it weeks later. That's not appropriate journalistically. And rather than having anybody held accountable, as Carrie was pointing out, they're giving each other awards and people, no one lost their job. It's really frustrating as a journalist to see how standards were thrown out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Molly Hemingway from The Federalist and Carrie Severino from the Judicial Crisis Network, co-authors of the book Justice on Trial. You guys really did a ton of investigative work in the book that's obvious and turned up a lot of information that heretofore had been unknown. When you all were doing the research and the investigative digging for this, what would you say was the biggest surprise you discovered in your research for the book?
Wow, we spoke to so many people to try to get the fullest picture possible of this book. We talked to more than 100 people, from the president on down, Supreme Court justices, and senators. So it was, we learned just a million exciting things. One of the scenes I always love is a scene where Jeff Flake and Chris Coons are in the room trying to determine what's going to happen with this FBI investigation, this last-minute decision to add that investigation on. And Flake is the real key vote, and we have all of the senators, practically the whole Judiciary Committee, force itself into this room at some point trying to talk with him. Coons and Flake are in a phone booth tucked in there. You've got other senators trying to get in there to get Flake's ear.
Jeez.
President Bush is trying to call on the phone to get his voice in because he's a big fan of Kavanaugh. He can't even get through. I mean, it is wild. And staffers in there, the senators are stepping on each other's feet. We even have a fist fight almost break out between two United States senators. This is not how the Senate, we know they make sausage, but they don't normally make a ruckus quite like this. It was a complete fiasco. So it was scenes like that that our just eyes were popping out, hearing more and more details as we talked to all the various people in that room.
It was really stunning to watch and to read about with the behind-the-scenes information that you all have. Now, I guess one of the questions that we have is what happens going forward? Now, you all mentioned Brett Kavanaugh's wife, knowing the confirmation hearings were going to be bad, but I don't think anybody could have speculated they would turn out to be as horrific as they actually were. How does this set the stage for what happens next going forward? Because Justice Ginsburg obviously is not in good health. We could see another nominee to the Supreme Court before too very much longer.
Right. And if this was how things went for when you replaced a swing vote, albeit a conservative swing vote, what will happen when you're replacing an actual member of that liberal bloc, someone like Ruth Bader Ginsburg? It could be absolutely apocalyptic. So we talk about that in the book, in Justice on Trial, because we are concerned that qualified candidates will not want to put their family through such a horrific process.
Understandable.
That no one was held accountable, and that incentivizes further bad behavior. You know, senators broke norms, broke Senate rules and processes, and they did not get in trouble. There were criminal referrals for some of the false accusations that were made, but no action was taken on that. Without people being held accountable, people might not get the message that they should not do this in the future.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening that if they can get away with this stuff with impunity, it portends ill for us going forward. It's a great book. It's called Justice on Trial, and you'll learn a great deal more about what actually transpired behind the scenes during the nomination process for Brett Kavanaugh to be on the Supreme Court. Carrie Severino from Judicial Crisis Network and Molly Hemingway from The Federalist. Terrific work that you all have done. And thank you for holding the media accountable in your book as well.
Thank you. We're very pleased that people feel that the way we framed everything was important, and we're glad that people are interested in true justice in this situation.
Yep, absolutely. I think you did it in a very fair manner, and I appreciate your time today. The book, again, is called Justice on Trial. It is a number one bestseller right now on Amazon. What's your next project? Are you guys planning on something else down the road to leapfrog off the success of this book?
This is a great working partnership. So, I think if another good opportunity comes by, we may see a sequel. But I think for right now, this has been a whirlwind to get this all done in this period. So now we just need to take a breath and really, enjoy what's going on now. It's great to be Amazon number one. So.
Yep, absolutely. Well, it's a great book, and you all deserve to be there. And thanks very much for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Good to have you here. 20 minutes after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we press on here on Hump Day on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And if you thought what you saw during the televised coverage of the Brett Kavanaugh nomination hearing for him to be a justice on the Supreme Court, if you thought what you saw on television was bad, and it was horrific, in fact, leading to Senator Lindsey Graham's blow up at the progressive socialist members of the Democrat Party that were trying to railroad, essentially, Judge Kavanaugh. You thought that was bad? When you read the book called Justice on Trial, you get an idea of just how horrific it really was for the people involved. Bob, please tell us the book title you just spoke about, posted on Facebook. Thank you. Yep, Moneypenny has the information up on our Facebook page already, facebook.com/1063WORD. The book by Carrie Severino and Molly Hemingway is called Justice on Trial. Bobby, your faithful millennial TJ from Spartanburg, I'm not worried, but can you believe the House is voting on impeachment today? Yeah, well, that's a nut job from Texas, Al Green, who's been screaming about impeachment since 1 minute past the time when Donald Trump was inaugurated. Afternoon, Bobby Mack. Happy hump day to you. Underground news has been silent, meaning something is about to happen, but it is another beautiful day in Greer. Gotcha. Bobby, Al Green is an idiot. That fool has been trying to push articles of impeachment on President Trump since Inauguration Day. Yep, true enough. It's crazy. It's interesting because in the wake of all the big brouhaha over the president's alleged racist tweets, how can they be racist when there's no mention of race or gender or sex or anything else in his tweets? Oh, that's right, because they came from President Trump, they're automatically racist. That's right, I forgot that. This from Reuters, which is not exactly a bastion of conservatism when it comes to news sites. Support for President Trump increased among Republicans after he lashed out on Twitter over the weekend in a racially charged attack. See, here we go again. You know, they use language that is unsupported by facts. There is nothing racial in President Trump's tweets. He attacked them for being un-American, not for being women of color or whatever else. Over the weekend, in his attack on four minority Democratic congresswomen, a Reuters Ipsos public opinion poll shows. The national survey conducted Monday and yesterday after the president told the lawmakers he should go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places in which they came, that would be a reference to Mogadishu and Somalia, showed his net approval among members of the GOP rose by 5 percentage points to 72%, compared with a similar poll from last week. Trump, who is seeking re-election next year, has lost support, however, with Democrats and independents since the Sunday tweet storm. Well, who cares about Democrats? And independents blow the wind anyway. Among independents, 3 in 10 said they approved of Trump, down from 4 of 10 a week ago. His net approval, the percentage who approved minus the percentage who disapproved, dropped by 2 points. So, you know, take the worth of that as you will. As you know, I put little to no faith whatsoever in any of this polling data. I remember the poll the other day that one of the polling companies did just for fun. I don't know who it was that did the poll. Showed that the Rapinoe or Rapinoe, whatever her name is, the purple-haired captain of the women's soccer team, beat President Trump in a poll for which one they'd vote for president. It tells you everything you need to know. Meantime, as far removed from polling data as you can get in the real world, people voting with their feet, there is this headline from Breitbart. Trump supporters line up at 4 a.m. for Greenville, North Carolina rally. Supporters of President Trump began lining up early for his 2020 reelection campaign rally in the other Greenville, the one in the Tar Heel State, set for this evening. The Trump campaign said it expects the president will receive a rock star welcome in the Tar Heel State. President Trump makes many things great in America. Traffic isn't one of them, said Mark Lotter, the campaign director, strategic communications director, told ABC 11, that's a local TV station there in the other Greenville. A presidential rally is a lot like a rock concert. It's going to be loud. There's going to be a lot of cheering. There'll be a national audience, but I can tell you the president will be talking about issues that matter to people in North Carolina. He's going to talk about our military. He's going to talk about our growing economy, rebuilding the manufacturing sector. He's also going to be talking about things like his fight to protect religious freedom. And then this story also has some pictures of people camped out, ready to go. The NBC affiliate in Winston, WXII-TV, showing a bunch of scenes. One of their reporters tweeting, "Hello from Greenville, North Carolina. Tonight, President Trump will speak at a Keep America Great rally at 7. Already a long line formed outside Williams Arena at East Carolina University." I think Moneypenny looked up the capacity of Williams Arena the other day when we were talking with the RNC people on Monday. 8,000 people. So I guess, I don't know, they'll probably do the same thing they typically do. They set up the big video screens outside so people in the parking lot can be a part of the rally, too. 3:31 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Little Annie is ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side. The remains of the day after the big dust-up on the floor of the House yesterday. We'll talk about that when we come right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Wednesday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's been pretty fascinating to watch. Welcome back, by the way, 3:38, 22 before 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Because now even some in the media are starting to, what's the word I'm looking for here? Starting to get woke to the fact that Donald Trump has played Pelosi and the Odd Squad. The squad, as they like to call them, AOC and her ilk. Have been essentially taken for a ride with his tweet storm over the weekend that then forced the Odd Squad to stage a news conference of their own defending themselves, ostensibly. This after they themselves, AOC and Ilhan Omar and the rest of them, had called Pelosi a racist just days before. What the president's strategy was here, as Limbaugh's talked about, and I have as well for some time, is making the Odd Squad the face of the Democrat Party, of the Democrat Socialists, as they like to call themselves, heading towards the 2020 election. And that really is the last thing that Pelosi wants. She wants them to be seen as more moderate, more temperate, not as radical and as extreme as the members of the Odd Squad. But now they're out front as the face of the Democrat Party. And then you got Al Green with his impeachment nonsense. Pelosi had some comments today that she said, no, don't pay any attention to this meme that the president was trying to put the Odd Squad out front as a face of the Democrat Party. And don't worry, we are not divided in any way. Yeah, right. As Ms. Pelosi whistled past the graveyard, saying this.
The president knows the argument that could be made against him, and therefore he wants to distract from him. You have to give him credit. He's a great distractor, and that's what this is about.
Uh-huh. And as for the infighting that is going on within the party?
With all due respect, let's not waste our time on that.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about what we're going to do to help the American people.
Yeah.
Our caucus is unified on all of that.
Oh, that's good. So how are you going to help the American people? With open borders, with infanticide, by eliminating the Electoral College, by granting voting rights to convicted murderers, by reparations, by free college tuition, by forgiving all college loan debt, all those kinds of things that middle America is crying out for. You know, so she can talk until she's blue in the face about how Trump has not played them all for fools. But I think it's readily apparent that's exactly what has happened. 19 before 4, let's go to the phones. Bring in Governor Jimmy. He is the governor of Easley, South Carolina. Hello, Governor Jimmy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, bud. Is there a storm up there? It's a bad storm here.
No. We're not raining here yet. It may be on its way to us, though.
Okay. No, that's not it. You know, if they do something different than they did the last 2 years or more, they hadn't done nothing. Democrats hadn't done nothing but try to impeach Trump. Since whether you're a Democrat or not does not matter. They sat on their butt, just not done nothing the whole time. They'll argue and try to do something that they know they can't do.
Yeah, they have not dealt with one issue. You know, somebody tweeted yesterday or texted me yesterday, so they can pass this resolution condemning the president's remarks as racist. They can do that in one day. They can get that passed, but they can't do anything about shutting down the loopholes that allow all of these illegals to continue to pour across our southern border like a tsunami.
And the other thing is, those four called it his whole family, his daughter, his wife, anybody in his family, son-in-law, they called him everything but a son of a dog. You know that?
Yeah, I know it. In fact, funny you should mention that, Jimmy, because there's a piece at Breitbart today that I'm going to work my way around to here with all of the racist things that the Odd Squad members themselves have said.
And I think the other thing burned me up is, look, I'm part Indian, part white man. No problem with that. My problem is, I'm tired of this racism. It's race baiting, and that's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is the most ineffective label I think you can possibly put on somebody. It's overused to the point where, essentially, you know, according to them, unless you are a woman of color or a person of color, then you're automatically a racist, which is absurd on its face.
Well, I'm a person of color. I'm either white or light.
Well,
a little bit dark white. A lot of people from Florida Indian, but I'm a color. Yeah, everything's a color. I get so sick of that I think they're going to wake up the sleeping giant one of these days, which is I'm racist. But 11% of them is all the blacks they are in this country by the life census. Look, I'm not saying that's a racist statement. They ain't racist in my body. But you're going to wake up these weakling white people don't want to do anything after a while, and it's going to turn bad on you if you don't quit it.
Well, and that's
I don't want to see that happen.
Well, neither do I, Jimmy, but that's precisely what the left wants to be able to fire up their base. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. Quarter before four here on the Bobby Mack Show. So yesterday, Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins took after Pelosi. And this is how screwed up they are. The Democrats ended up passing a resolution that couldn't be read on the floor of the House because it violated their own rules. Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot. There are no rules for the Pelosi's and the other socialist progressive Democrats. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show.
Bobby Mack. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Great to have you along here on Hump Day on a hot and steamy Bobby Mack Show with afternoon thunderstorms popping up across parts of the upstate, as we heard from Jimmy and Easley. By the way, this 17th day of July, we don't want it to escape our attention because I had one for lunch today. Today is a very special day.
Look at those steaming weenies.
I'm a big fan of wieners.
I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Eating hot dogs and blasting this.
Happy National Hot Dog Day.
Yeah, today is National Hot Dog Day, so celebrate. Grab you a little wiener there. So I mentioned one of the heroes of yesterday was Georgia Representative Doug Collins. He was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about the dust-up yesterday on the floor of the House that Nancy Pelosi's speech ignited. Collins saying her speech was clearly over the line, defending his decision to demand that her words be stricken from the record in the House. You may recall, if you were with us yesterday, we played some of the audio from that. The tension started after Pelosi condemned, quote, the president's racist tweets, introducing a resolution that carried the title, Condemning President Trump's Racist Comments Directed at Members of Congress. Well, as Representative Collins pointed out, the very title of the resolution itself violates the rules of the House since it ascribes a motive to the president by calling him racist. Collins said they passed a resolution that can't be read on the floor of the House. That shows you how bad this is. This is nothing but an attempt to get to the president to make a mockery of their own leadership abilities because they don't like this president. And isn't it amazing? How long has Nancy Pelosi been in the House? 30-plus years? She's been Speaker. She's been Minority Leader. Now she's Speaker again. And she doesn't even know the rules of her own House? Knowing that you can't introduce a resolution like that? That accuses a political opponent of being a racist? And you may remember yesterday, after Collins objected, the House voted, of course it's controlled by the Democrats, House voted along party lines not to strike Pelosi's words from the record, and then voted separately to restore her speaking privileges, because usually when you have something that's removed, you're not allowed to speak on the floor of the House for the remainder of the day. Then they passed a resolution condemning Trump's go-back remarks directed toward the Odd Squad. Collins also expressed his disagreement, saying that AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib, saying their recent rhetoric shows that the House is broken right now and why the president is leading. We in the House have to maintain what little decorum that we have. And you heard Pelosi, I played you the soundbite a minute ago, trying to push back against what has been a, I think, very successful effort by President Trump to cast the Odd Squad as the face of the Democrat Party. And, of course, the whole Democrat Party is fractured in Washington. Their caucus did unite to condemn the president's racially charged tweets, racially charged tweets. Pelosi is saying, well, with all due respect, let's not waste our time on that. We're not having the president set our agenda. We're setting our own agenda. Yeah, and some agenda it is. The president today tweeting, in America, if you hate our country, you're free to leave. The simple fact of the matter is the four congresswomen think that America is wicked in its origins. They think that America is even more wicked now and that we are all racist and evil. They're entitled to their opinion. They're Americans. Now I'm entitled to my opinion, and I just think they are left-wing cranks. They're the reason there are directions on a shampoo bottle. And we should ignore them. The squad has moved the Democrat Party substantially left. Listen to what we hear from the squad, said Rona McDaniel, the GOP chairwoman. Abolish ICE. They refer to police as Nazis. It's nothing but anti-American and anti-Semitic rhetoric. President Trump loves our country, and his policies are proof that he's working hard for all Americans. During the press conference today, Pelosi, as you heard, dismissed the president's actions as a designed distraction. You have to give him credit. He's a great distractor. That's what this is about. So let's just take it to a better place, America, as if she would recognize what a better place would be. There was a sit-down with Oprah Jr., Gayle King, on CBS this morning. Tlaib sent a warning message to Pelosi and acknowledged the fact that we are women of color. So when you do single us out, be aware of that and what you're doing, especially because some of us are getting death threats, because some of us are being singled out because of our backgrounds, because of our experiences, and so forth. No, you're not getting threats because of that, Ms. Tlaib. You're getting threats because you are attacking the values and the traditions of America. King followed up with AOC asking if she was interested in having a conversation with Pelosi, and AOC said, oh, absolutely. So they may try and paint a pleasant-looking face on this, but, boy, they are about as fractured and going in as many different directions at once as you can possibly imagine, with AOC and the Odd Squad trying to lead the way with the progressive socialist agenda, and Pelosi trying to tamp down the Al Greens of her party and the AOCs and Tlaibs and Omar, all the rest of them, so that she can try and present the Democrats as a moderate party, when in point of fact, every agenda item they have is as radical as you can possibly imagine. Now, I mentioned there's a list been put together of racist statements by members of the squad. We'll get to that as we proceed along this afternoon. Next up on the other side of the news, I am joined again by my buddy Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina. That's on the way here on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.